Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it does appear that you've come back. I can't say that I'm surprised, though. A part of me is. I did wonder if I'd find you here. Now, I know I've been away for just a few months, but I thought that yet again we'd join ourselves in the library. Now, of course, it has been a busy life, so I've not been dusting, and I do apologize that, and Master Robert has decided to take a leave from us, and so, unfortunately, there are some cobwebs, but I can tell you that because of that, we do have some delicious Mascarian Madagascar beetles that you might be able to find here around. Just a delectable crunch, I will say. But do mind those spiders. They don't like their food being taken from them. And, well, not all things are friendly, although they are quite beautiful in their iridescence as they crawl towards you. Their fangs are not quite so beautiful, I am told at least. But do come in. Come in. Take a seat at my library. Cozy up to the fire. I know it is still cold these late nights. The sun abandons us and the fog comes in. And, well, the library becomes a little bit darker, and down here we never do quite get all that warmth, though I myself am not complaining. But come in, take a seat, have yourselves some Madagascar beetles, and, well, let's talk about luck. Life, it fills us with luck. We've heard stories about them our entire life. Don't step on a crack or you'll break your father's back, or black cats crossing our paths, walking under ladders, and the luck that certain things just might bring us. Life is filled with luck where we try and make it, beseeching gods to give it to us. And sometimes that lady ignores our call. That's why I wanted to dive into the volume that we have today, to flip through the pages of luck, see what we can find, uncover those mysteries, and see if we can master it. It doesn't always work in our favor, but it does remind me of a few things before we get started. There's an old Chinese fable that I wanted to start with. It's the story of an old farmer who lived many years ago. He had one horse that he used to plow his fields. And one day that horse ran away into the hills. And everyone said that they were so sorry for his bad luck. And he replied, "Bad luck, good luck. Who knows?" A week later, the horse returned with a herd of wild horses, which now belonged to the old man, and everyone was so happy for his good luck, and the old man replied, "Who knows?" And while his son was riding one of the wild horses, he fell off and broke his leg, and everyone said, "What bad luck?" And yet again, the old man replied, "Bad luck, good luck, who knows?" And one day, the army came to the village and took the strong young man to be soldiers for the emperor. Only the farmer's son was spared because he could not fight with a broken leg. And yet again, everyone cheered, "What good luck?" And the old man replied, "Good luck, bad luck, who knows?" It's a wise proverb that reminds us that sometimes luck is not quite what we expect. It is not quite what we always believe should be. And sometimes blessings and curses can come shrouded in a mask that tricks us. And so with that, I wanted to start tonight off reading a piece by our dear Daniel Descino. Now, for those who don't know, he did have a bit of luck. You see, when the library first opened its doors, he unfortunately wandered into the forbidden section. And he opened a book that, well, did not want to be here anymore. And so, unfortunately, this book gave up its spot to Mr. Descino, but in his wise way, he was able to think himself out of that little predicament. And so now he is yet again back wandering our halls, occasionally showing his face, but it does allow us to read some of his words. And so with that, I wanted to start us off in this new volume, looking at the Late Night Library and the Lexicon of Luck by our own Daniel Descino. Sometimes I start to think and the terror becomes so overwhelming. I try to remember never to do that again, looking back at everything, how much out of control I am. Once an innocent summer's eve, what could a boat ride be but wonderful and memorable? If only that young boy hadn't perished, I shiver as if it could have been me. Car ride with friends, young and adventurous, no one to tell us we weren't immortal. I can still see the roads cross as the tomb maker that almost was. Ice, the simple slippery assassin. It's not my broken shoulder, I remember. It's the distance from my shoulder to my head. What if? The two words that shiver me into insanity. What if? What if I had fallen an inch differently? A broken head or a broken shoulder? What would anyone pick? There goes that thinking again. Every car ride. What if? I have a misjudged judgment. Or scarier, someone else does. Randomness seems the mass murderer's friend. What if? My body, I can't escape it. Every cell divides, renews, mutilates. Sometimes the mutation sticks, but sometimes. What if? The library. My endless escape, the mistress to indulge my intellectual affair, protect me from the reality I cannot endure. She entrapped me with her allure, and I became a slave to her wonders. A prisoner on the shelf to be released, only to discover love. The ultimate snare, a leather-bound rope around my heart, and now, so cruelly, she let me free. To think of luck, knowing I would run back to the fantasy world of lonely day literature in a late night library. O mischievous mistress of lexicon allure, where should I go next? What a delightful work. It reminds us that life is so filled with those what-if moments. It reminds me of a few unfortunate souls, in fact. There was a man who actually lived through two atomic bombs. His name was Tsutomu Yamaguchi. He had actually was a native to Nagasaki who had traveled to Hiroshima for a few days for business. And on August 6, 1945, the first atomic bomb was dropped on the city during his stay in Hiroshima, and they had found that he was actually 3 kilometers from the explosion's epicenter and received, of course, tremendous amount of injuries. And for that, he was hospitalized for 2 days, but, of course, returned home. And when he arrived home into Nagasaki, the second bomb detonated on the 9th of August. Thankfully, this time, he did not suffer more injuries, but it just reminds us about those what-ifs. What if he'd never gone to Hiroshima? What if he'd stayed in the hospital at Hiroshima? Yet, here they are, living a life of what-if, and of course, the consequences that come from it. Of course, this also reminds me of another poem that was written by another poet here that is called Care to Sell Your Soul by Darkened Auras. Now, what I adore about this is that I'm personally not the gambling type. Of course, you never quite know what you're going to gamble, and yet this one dives into that thought. So, let us read. Care to sell your soul by Darkened Auras. Care to try your luck tonight? So much here to entice. The money, love, lady, magic, go on. Roll the dice. Never have I lost a game. I make my opponents fall. But tonight may turn the other cheek. It's your call, after all. Just remember, when you bow, blow, and pray, your soul is on the line. Or this can be a game you dare not play. Walk away, and you'll be fine. Like so many other things in life, there's a little bit of gambling involved. It reminds me of the song, The Devil Went Down to Georgia, looking for a soul to steal, and yet, because he played the game, he won a fiddle. But how many people have played a game, have rolled the dice, and found that luck was not on their side? Reminds me of another unlucky soul, Violet Jessop. She was a hostess aboard some well-known and unfortunate ships, actually. In 1911, she boarded the RMS Olympic, which collided with the HMS Hawk in French waters due to severe fog. Of course, she didn't learn her lesson, and later on, she joined to work on the RMS Titanic a year later. Well, we all know what happened to that ship. But she was lucky enough to escape, at least, if we follow what luck is. If we follow the Chinese proverb, well, what is luck? Because although she survived the Titanic, she then worked on the Britannic, which, of course, also sank in the Aegean Sea in 1960 after colliding with mines. Of course, Violet yet again survived that incident, but when is enough? Enough, or perhaps she was not the unlucky one. Perhaps the ships were not so unlucky. And perhaps instead there was an... Well, now, it does appear that those agents of luck did not quite enjoy me talking about it. But we are here nonetheless. And in doing so, in rejoining, we are able to still discuss the critters which play with our luck. They play with our hopes and our dreams. And of that, it reminds me of another poet that we have for tonight. It reminds me of Prabhadan Panda, who writes about the bits of luck that favor life. So, let us get into this. Little bit of luck favors life to lead ahead. Prabhadan Panda. Little bit of luck favors life to lead ahead. Luck means by chance it happens. Good. Luck's blessing is luck. Lord's blessing is luck to sit on high seat. Lucky husband gets a good wife, quite fit. Love between wife, husband is good luck. Lover, fraud, cruel. Greed, bad luck. Luck favors to stable, wise, noble person. Luck of fortune is fruit of previous action. Luck absolutely favored me to lead life. Loyal, lovely parents, and my dear wife. Lord's blessing made me high educated, lawyer, professor, poet, department head. Life needs liberty, so I am Lord's devotee. Luck favors me daily to pray, Almighty. Life leads peacefully with family members, lawyer, professors, pharmacists, teachers. Language gifted by my dear mom is Odia. Lord Jagannath of Odisha Province, India. Luckily, I got first division in matriculum. Luckily, I am blessed with good wife and son. Lord gifted a good grandson, I feel happy. LLB degree with 3 gold blessed life. Lucky to be a poet of word from Cordaha. Land is historical, a full of fighters. Lord's son birthplace in Kalinga. Lake Chiuka, beautiful with birds residence. Luck be locked who follows path of anger. Lucky controls mind to get peace and pleasure. It is amazing the way that we determine luck. The luck that we make for ourselves. The luck that life leads us to. There are moments when we have to wonder exactly how these incidents of luck happen. Was it that they had a rabbit's foot? Or perhaps they'd never broken a mirror? We are reminded that sometimes our reflection can consume us, and that is that fear of breaking a mirror. Those moments when we realize that we are out of luck and that perhaps we need some more. And that, of course, reminds me of a poet who I believe may be on the crystal ball, Gerald Green. Let's take a moment to see if we can get him to join us. Let's see. Gerald, are you there, my dear?
When days loom dark and moods swing low, my worth seems worthless, empty as a hobo's wallet. I walk on fractured sidewalks. Large shards of concrete rise to trip the feeble, wobble the unsteady, making me turn and head back home. A little bit of luck is all I ask. Neighbors play loud music. Walls become agents of boom. I cannot think when rap keeps rapping. Cannot sleep among the thumps. I've been denied again this year. The government won't give me help. What's left is crumbs and empty bottles. Where to go is mystery. A little bit of luck is all I ask. My sister tells me don't come back. My daughter runs the other way. There is no remedy for sorrow, only tears to wash away the fear. A poet friend is all I cherish, one who understands denial's curse. She plays upon my heart with song, gives me hope with loving verse. A little bit of luck is all I ask. I found a dollar, pawned a trinket, helped a man replace a tire, paid my rent again this month, but haven't eaten for a while. With no heat or radio, I let the world go on its sodden way. There is no remedy for my condition, only deeper worry and despair. A little bit of luck is all I ask. End poem.
Yes, sometimes that's exactly what we look for. A little bit of luck to guide us on our way. A little bit of luck, and it's always quite amazing where we find it. We need look no further than our fellow poets and the stories that they bring to us to see those moments of little bits of luck. One that we found in vast catacombs of thoughts and minds talked about how they found money at a grocery store. They said that they were the third in line at the checkout, and the lady at the cashier was purchasing a few basic items. Cat food, some tuna, loaf of bread, a quart of milk, maybe a package of cookies. And her money was in her hand as the cashier gave her the total. She was 86 cents short. She checked her purse to no avail, and for a moment, she thought of putting something back. The man ahead of them reached into his pocket, palmed a dollar, and bent down as if to pick something up and said, "I think you dropped this." Sometimes luck is that stranger the person who does a little bit of good to make the life less bad. And yet we don't always count that as luck. Sometimes we count that as kindness. Now, don't mistake my words. The library is not always so kind after all. We do have a few residents who are not always so delightful. You hear them opening doors, stomping down the hall, the creaking of windows. Sometimes those are creatures best missed. And yet sometimes they are the ones we need. Our fellow brethren who sit in wait just for a moment to lift our spirits. It too reminds me of another story from another poet who was deployed overseas and they had to leave their cat with their mother. Their mother had been feeling lonely lately and they'd hoped that the cat would help that change and after 2 years, they were ready to gather them back. But before they could do that, they got a call from their mother. She'd fallen asleep early and woke up to the cat on her chest, meowing and pushing at her face. It woke her up. He'd never done that before, and she'd smelled something funny. She jumped out of bed and found that the kitchen was on fire because of that cat. His mother is still alive. It's delightful to think of just how luck comes into our life. And it reminds me of a piece by our poet Ben Schiller. Now, he tells us a little bit about his life as a child, but it's called A Lucky Walk. A poor boy from Kentucky running without shoes in spring's rain, dead of fall and cold winter, soles of my feet were shielded in skin grown like leather, stalking blue grass for green clover. A four leaf is a 10 levels of relief, a tickle under feet, a bee refusing retreat. For all its stinging strains, my feet free from pain. It wasn't a deity that saved him. It wasn't that four-leaf clover, but the play from day to day, the enjoyment of life in the present, the reminder that activity and romping around and the creation of memories in the end is what brought about the luck for our Mr. Schiller. Likewise, it reminds me of another poet that we have. This one is Moshe 18. And his is called An Incident at the Conference of Metaphysical Engineers. As luck would have it, a poem came to mind at just the right moment and just the right time. The people around me were eager to hear my thoughts on the subject of who, when, and where. It had to be clever. It had to be wise. Being neither of those, I just improvised. I said in a voice with deep and with dignity, and a look on my face that spoke of profundity. The question is not who, when, and where. The question, perhaps, is why me, why now, why here? As luck would have it, this rhyme caused confusion, and I made for the exit, avoiding more questions. It's a delightful tale, but it reminds us that sometimes that luck is of our own making. It reminds us that sometimes luck does not come careening from the skies as it did for Anne Hodges, who was sleeping peacefully in the comfort of her home in November 30th of 1954. Anne had been hit by a meteorite. And although the chances are almost nil, we've witnessed those similar events. In fact, there was a fatality which involved a dog in Egypt in 1911, a car which was hit by a meteorite in Peekskill, New York, and more recently a pea-sized meteorite that hit a boy's hand at 48,000 kilometers per hour in Essen, Germany. We think that luck sometimes is supposed to be palpable, that karma plays into it, and that when karma doesn't play along, well, that's why she's a bitch, isn't it? But we remember that sometimes it is like a strike of lightning. It comes almost out of nowhere, and we can't quite anticipate it. In fact, it brings us back to the idea of bad luck. How we get caught in these moments, these unfortunate findings. And thankfully, perhaps even luckily, we had a few poets tell us about that. Chris Edom wrote about the unfortunate creature, bearing luck of the unlucky, I misfortune by a hair, risking bills on black seems ducky, till red squirrels into there. It's a fun little poem that reminds us that luck also comes, and it also goes, but sometimes it's just within our reach, and sometimes it's, well, it's just not there for us at all. It reminds us, in fact, of a very unlucky fellow who was linked to the assassination of 3 U.S. presidents. There was a gentleman named Robert Todd Lincoln, which was the firstborn son of the U.S. president, Abraham Lincoln, and his wife. And Robert had lived a life marked by some somewhat surprising events, starting with the fact that he happened to be present near or in the same place when the assassination of 3 presidents took place. Of course, on April 14, 1865, Robert was not at Ford's Theater. He was exhausted after his trip. He had informed both of his parents that he preferred not to attend the performance and to stay at the White House. He ran to be with his parents because his badly wounded president had been taken to Peterson House in front of Ford's Theater after being shot. There, Robert watched over his father on his deathbed. 15 years later, President James would appoint Robert Todd Lincoln as the Secretary of War. And on July 2nd in 1881, Lincoln was scheduled to travel to Elberon, New Jersey, by train with the president. But the trip never took place. Before Lincoln and Garfield train could leave the station, Charles shot the president, who died 2 months later. 2 decades actually passed at this point without a presidential assassination, but yet Lincoln's strange luck reared its head again on September 6, 1901. You see, he traveled to Buffalo at the invitation of President William McKinley, who attended the Pan American Exposition. And although he arrived late to the event, Lincoln was on his way to meet McKinley when anarchist Leon assassinated the president after shooting him twice at point blank. Now, after these 3 moments of unbelievable bad luck, whenever he was invited to any function involving the president of the United States, Robert Lincoln would always point out the same thing. No, I'm not going, and they'd better not ask me, because there's a certain fatality about presidential functions when I'm present. What a delightful way to handle a little bit of bad luck. Yet it also reminds me of how Violet continued to board those ships. If only she had the forethought to no longer board some planes. Perhaps those ghosts would not roam these halls. Well, with that, it also does remind me of another poet who spoke of a little bit of bad luck. This one is 3 Kinds of Luck by Poetically Written. And let's see. Let's see if I can find that. Yes, here it is. 2 words I thought would bring me luck were rabbit's foot, but still unstuck. So I was all thrilled out of the truck, ran out of gas without a buck. Now I'm pushing, rolling over. Look, I found a 4-leaf clover. surely things would start to change, and at that moment comes the rain. Night was slowly closing in. I knew right then I couldn't win. Still I held inside a secret grin found at the stop of my favorite pen. Station closed, wrote on the sign, though it was not the end of time. No credit card, set teeth to grind. That was the day I lost my mind. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, I made a wish upon a star. If I could reach, I'd kick it far. Three kinds of luck, no gas in car. Luck does have a sick sense of humor, does it not? There's always those moments when we never quite expect in life or luck to go that way. In fact, it reminds me of a bullet that was once lodged in a tree that was responsible for killing a gentleman named Harry Zeigland 20 years later after he was injured by that same projectile in a gunfight. You see, in 1883, Henry broke off a relationship. His girlfriend was heartbroken and unfortunately took her life. Afterward, the girl's brother shot Henry and then also took his own life. Yet the bullet only grazed Henry and lodged in a tree behind him. Now in 1993, Henry decided to remove the tree from his property. However, he wasn't happy with simply chopping it down. He, in his infinite wisdom, decided to blow it up. And without the skill to do so, Henry placed dynamite at the foot of the tree, and in the explosion, that very bullet that was lodged in the tree was propelled by the blast and hit him, which of course took his life. It's ironic the way that luck plays out, much like that proverb that we started with at the beginning of this reading. We have to remember good luck, bad luck, who knows? I'm fairly certain that Henry, had he known, would not have blown up the tree that day. And yet, sometimes we do that. We forget about the past. We cling to what we perceive as good luck, and we forget that sometimes we should not leave it up to luck. Which reminds me of the wise words of another one of our poets, Doc Juniors III. He wrote a poem called "The Moment I Knew No Luck Can Come Through." Or, as he writes, in first grade physics 101, nothing can break the law of causality. No bolt out of the blue, no wish upon a star, no luck taking some wooden head side. All grown up and educated. The hard deterministic cosmos, being a machine comprising naught but quantum bits, mechanical and space, contains no room for randomness or luck to intervene. Each time the goblin puck purloins the car keys you misplace. A dedication of respect for each plucky truth beyond all rational doubt. A revolving helos rhyme many manipian satire on the foolishly consistent belief in luck as well as miracles. A hobo goblin yet of little minds. It reminds us that luck is not quite so lucky, that we shouldn't leave things to it. And yet, we continue to have greed. We continue to try and weasel things out of it. And it reminds me, actually, of a European folklore that I read long ago that I wanted to share. It was called The Story of Unlucky Days. At the end of a village on the verge of the steppe dwelled two brothers, one rich and the other poor. One day the poor brother came to the rich brother's house and sat down at his table. But the rich brother drove him away and said, "How dost thou sit at my table? Be off! Thy proper place is in the fields to scare away the crows." So the poor brother went into the fields to scare away the crows. The crows all flew away when they saw him, but among them was a raven that flew back again and said to him, "Oh man, Is this the village that thou wilt never be able to live? For here is neither luck nor happiness for thee. But go into another village, and thou shalt be well. Then the man went home, called together his wife and children, put up a few old clothes that still remained in his wardrobe, and went to the next village, carrying his water skin on his shoulders. On and on they traveled along the road, but the unlucky days clung to the man behind them and said, "Why dost thou not take us with thee? We will never leave thee, for thou art ours." So they went on with him till they came to a river, and the man who was thirsty went down to the water's edge for a drink. He undid his water skin, persuaded the unlucky days to get in, tied it fast again, and buried it on the bank close to the river. Then he and his family went on farther. They went on and on till they came to another village, and at the very end of it was an empty hut. The people who had lived there had died of hunger. There the whole family settled down. One day they were all sitting down there, and they heard something on the mountain crying, "Catch hold, catch hold, catch hold." The man went at once to his stable, took down the bit of reins that remained to him, and climbed up into the mountains. He looked all about him as he went, and at last he saw, sitting down, an old goat with large horns. It was the devil himself, but of course he didn't know that. So he made a lasso of the reins, threw them around the old goat, and began to drag it gently down the mountainside. He dragged it all the way up to the ladder of his barn. Then it disappeared. But showers and showers of money came tumbling through the ceiling. He collected them all together, and they filled two large coffers. The poor man made the most of his money, and in no very long time he was well to do. Then he sent some of his people to his rich brother and invited him to come and live with him. The rich brother pondered the matter over. "Maybe he has nothing to eat," thought he, "and this is why he sends for me." So he bade them bake a good store of fat pancakes and set out accordingly. On the way he heard that his brother had grown rich, and the further he went, the more he heard of his brother's wealth. Then he regretted that he had brought all the pancakes with him, so he threw them away into the ditch. At last he came to his brother's house, and his brother showed him first one of the coffers full of money, and then the other. Then envy seized upon the rich brother, and he grew quite green in the face. But his brother said to him, "Look now, I have buried a lot more money in a water skin hard by the river. You may dig it up and keep it if you like, for I have lots of my own here." The rich brother did not wait to be told twice. Off he went to the river and began digging up the water skin straight away. He unfastened it with greedy, trembling hands, but he had no sooner opened it than the unlucky days all popped out and clung onto him. "Thou art ours," they said. He went home, and when he got there, he found that all his wealth was consumed, and a heap of ashes stood where his house had been. So he went and lived in the place where his brother had lived, and the unlucky days lived with him ever after. It reminds us that though there may not always be luck that is clinging to us, or bad luck that claims us as ours, sometimes kindness is what will impact our life the most. After all, had that brother not been so greedy, he may have just had a little sympathy from his brother, and perhaps he would not have lost his wealth. Perhaps he would not have lost his house and his children and all that belonged to him. It's wise words from a Ukrainian folklore that reminds us that luck and bad luck clings, and that hard work is often what it takes to change those tides. Now, speaking of tides, luck is not only for wealth. It is not only for those moments in romping in fields or looking for those lucky moments or big break. Sometimes luck comes with love. A poet here, Betty Page, reminds us of that. In fact, she wrote a poem for us called Clovers and Rainbows. Clovers and Rainbows. I'm chasing clovers, counting to find lucky ones, plucking them on grass, sweetly daydreaming rainbows and searching for gold, finding real treasures. Loves me not. I'm gripping four-leaf clovers, magics in my hand, drinking whiskey straight, searching for my one true love. So lucky in love, sweetly daydreaming, rainbows end, searching for gold, finding real treasure. I'm chasing clovers, counting to find lucky ones, plucking them on grass. Loves me not. I'm gripping four-leaf clovers, magic in my hand, drinking whiskey straight, searching for my one true love. So lucky in love. Sometimes that love and luck, they don't always go hand in hand. Sometimes they leave us wanting. And yet, sometimes it's not just a matter of looking. Sometimes we find that one. And the sick muse tells us that. They wrote, "You are my four-leaf clover. You're my favorite fuzzy dice. My rainbow's shiny pot of gold, my bird of paradise. The ladybug that charms my heart, the penny I have found. The acorn in my pocket and the spell by which I'm bound. You are my number 7 and the horseshoe o'er my door. My rabbit's foot of fortune, my jinching of Chinese lore. You are the fairy Tinkerbell and I'm your Peter Pan. For ever since I met you, I have been a lucky man." Luck and love, luck and, well, bad luck. They all bring different aspects to our life. I think of how luck comes to be, the fear of our soul bound in a mirror, and the Roman belief that it takes 7 years to fulfill a life cycle. That's how bad luck comes to us, you see. The horseshoe, not hung the right way over a door, will not be the bowl which collects the bad luck that Pitt wishes to pour into our life. Just like how the dream catcher, not hung, cannot cast away the nightmares. Luck is a funny thing. Sometimes it shows up for us and sometimes it doesn't. Perhaps that's why they think it is a lady, because often we might change our mind. Just like this library, you see. So many wander into it, and some are lucky, like our dear Daniel Deschino, able to wit their way out of the predicaments that they find themselves in. And yet, others tend to be lost between the pages, where their presence is forever bound. It's why I wish you good luck as we leave tonight. Our tales come to a close. A reminder that luck is sometimes what you make of it. That life is the opportunities that you seize. And just because things do not always work out does not mean that it was bad luck or that it was unlucky. Sometimes we are blessed by misfortune. And perhaps we need to be reminded of that. That sometimes it's bad. Is exactly the sort of luck we need. So, as you find your way out, do be safe. Still, if you see a rabbit's foot, I wouldn't take it. But, as you wander along your path, through the corridors, take a little bit of luck with you, wish upon a star. But keep it like a grain of salt, ready to throw over your left shoulder, just in case we need to bind a devil in our wake. Good night, my darlings. See you soon.